Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our Bible on Business series. For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, we are doing this series because it is important for me, as someone who speaks to you about faith and business, for you to understand that every single thing that you need in your life and in your business is right within the Word of God. I know a lot of times we seek external resources. I see a trend that I strongly dislike where we only utilize scripture to discuss the ways in which the Lord wants to bless our businesses or tell us about how we're going to prosper and what He wants us to do to fulfill this need of approval or purpose that we have inside. But there's so much more to the text. There's so much, not just for the outcome of our businesses, but for the operations of it, for the positioning of it, for the approach of it. There's so much depth in the Word of God. And I don't believe it is explored enough in the business context. And that's why we are doing this series. I have a resource as well that is included with this series. You could find the link in the show notes. It's free, but it's my Bible on Business dashboard. So I don't want you to just take my word for how we explore the text here. I want to provide you just with a Bible study guide and some questions to ask, some words to define, some other places to study in the scripture that complement the message. I want you to study the word for yourself and see what the Lord reveals to you. So you can click the link in the show notes to download that. I started this or created it a couple of weeks ago, so we were already kind of deep in our series by then. So give me some time to update for the previous episodes. But as we continue to do the series every week, the dashboard will be updated with the most recent episode. And for those of you who have already downloaded the dashboard and have begun using it, you don't have to re-download it. You just have to revisit it. I didn't want you to have to keep signing up for things over and over again. The one dashboard is going to be updated based on everything we discuss here within the episodes. Couple other church announcements. I have a webinar going on this week, free. It's called the God Math Webinar. I want to share with women who wear multiple hats, who are doing multiple things. So if you're a wife, a mom, you're a ministry, you're a business owner, you're in school, if you are someone who manages multiple responsibilities, I want to share with you a formula that the Lord has shared with me recently on how to make sure that you are operating from a place of being filled, not depleted, and also from a place where He is able to, your position for Him to be able to multiply the things that you put your efforts to. This was mind blowing to me when the Lord gave me this revelation, and I want to break it down for you. Again, it's free. I just want to share it and bless those who have been feeling just out of sorts and overwhelmed and depleted. I just want to share this with you to give you some of that same freedom that the Lord gave me. So the link to the register for that is in the show notes as well. Again, it's free. It's happening this week. And if you miss it, I will update the link with the replay. So the replay will be available for you as well. All right, let's hop into today's episode. Y'all, I am so excited about today's episode. I was going through my notes because I told y'all God has just been downloading so many different episodes to me. So he'll give me the text. I might be studying myself and come across something. I'll make a note of like, this would be important for the Bible and Business series, and here's why. And so I just have so many notes of episodes to do. And when I was going through them, one of them, I just simply put, and I was mad at myself for not providing more context to help me out when I actually started to dive into this. But I had wrote in the notes section of my phone, John the Baptist as a subject matter expert. And I was like, dang, Tatum, I wish you would have said why you said this. But okay, let's just take this and let's explore and let's see. Because this was months ago when I put this in my phone. And the study of this in and of itself blessed me so much. And I'm so excited to do a deep dive into that here. Now, we're not going to go to a specific text, but we're going to explore John the Baptist as a whole. So you can consider this a profile and how the profile in the life of this person can be relevant to a specific subset of entrepreneurs. So the type of entrepreneur that I'm talking to with this episode and that John the Baptist, I believe, is extremely relevant to are subject matter experts or SMEs. An SME is a person who has a deep knowledge or expertise in a specific area or field. A subject matter expert, they are usually really recognized for their advanced understanding and skills that are related to a particular topic or industry. So if you're an SME, you may be consulted for your insight, your advice, and your guidance on complex issues or projects within a specific area of specialization. So for example, I can be considered a subject matter expert in podcasting. Somebody can come to me and we can go deep on the specifics of launching, growing, and monetizing a podcast, way deeper than if you were to go and talk to somebody who just dealt with audio generally. They may know some about podcasts, and they may know some about music. They may know some about other things, but you come to somebody like me when you want a deeper understanding of podcasting in particular. So I will be considered a subject matter expert. And Anchor Media, because my business, we primarily focus on podcasters, is a SME type of business. Now, someone who is a more general entrepreneur, like I said, they won't be as deep in a specific niche. So let's take marketing, for example. I believe that's the easiest one to communicate. If someone has a marketing agency, then they probably cover so many different types of marketing. They can cover social media. They can maybe cover events, maybe email, advertising, television. There's so many different ways that you can go in marketing. So if someone has a general marketing agency, they probably have different services and offers that cover the broad spectrum that is marketing. That's a more general business. A subject matter expert, using the same marketing example, would be somebody who focuses specifically on Instagram and Facebook ads. They are subject matter experts with the SME type of business. And for those of you who are just really considering what type of business you want to start, I think it's important to note that there are pros and cons to a general business versus a SME type of business. I'm not going to do a deep dive into it because I don't want us to take away from the episode. But if you're new and you're trying to figure out which way to go, do some research on a SME business versus a general business. And to be fair, you don't have to figure it all out right now. You can always expand even if you start out as a SME type of entrepreneur, and you can always niche down if you start as a generalized entrepreneur. But I just wanted to provide some clarity on what exactly a SME is and how that translates into entrepreneurship and into us as entrepreneurs so that we can have the appropriate lens as we explore John the Baptist as a SME in religious and spiritual context. And we can take what we learn from him in the word and apply that to our approach to our businesses. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with John the Baptist, he was a significant prophetic figure in the New Testament. He's known for his role in preparing the way for Jesus. That's what he was born to do. He was the cousin of Jesus, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he primarily operated his ministry in the wilderness, where he was preaching repentance and he baptized people in the Jordan River. John's messages and his strict lifestyle, which we won't talk about in a second, he drew large crowds, and he famously baptized Jesus as well, witnessing the Holy Spirit descending upon him. Even after all of that, he faced imprisonment and doubts about Jesus' identity, which Jesus later affirmed. And we'll talk about that, too. John's life and his mission is just it just underscores the importance of repentance, righteousness, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. So that's a generalized overview, but I want to do a deep dive into his life and what made him a subject matter expert so that we can pull those implications for us as SME entrepreneurs. As we just stated, John the Baptist's primary mission was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. He was a forerunner whose specific role was to call people to repentance and to baptize them as a sign of their readiness for the coming kingdom of God. This is the subject matter that he was an expert in. If you go to Luke 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 11. It says, while Zechariah, his father, was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. So as you can see, his purpose and primary mission was already foretold to his father. His father was so stunned, homeboy was doubting and had to get muted if you read the rest of it. But that shows you that what he was going to be an expert in was going to be clear. Even if we go to Matthew 3, starting at verse 1, this is where he begins his ministry. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. And that's referencing Isaiah 40 and 3. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school.
I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
So as we could see, another part of his specialization was deeply rooted in Old Testament prophecy, particularly in fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah about a voice crying out in the wilderness. So his expertise lays in interpreting and embodying these prophetic messages. Now, John has some distinct practices, specifically in baptism and in his lifestyle. So John's practices of baptizing people in the Jordan River and his strict lifestyle of like living in the wilderness, wearing camel's hair, eating crickets and honey, yuck, really set him apart from other religious leaders. And his focus on baptism as a symbolic act of repentance was a key aspect in his role as a subject matter expert. I'm actually going to do another episode on branding, because one of the things when I was studying John the Baptist for this episode, I was like, what was the point, though? It seemed his mission was clear. The way in which he went about it was a bit peculiar to me. Like, some things were clear, that he had to come out of the wilderness. So we knew that that had to be a part of his life, because that was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. But some of these other peculiar characteristics of him, I was wondering, like, why? So as I was doing some research, what I found was these other elements of his lifestyle were essentially to underscore his message. And when I read that, what I thought about was branding. And I want to explore, because how he lived was very similar to how Elijah lived. I mean, it even said in the text that he had the spirit of Elijah. I want to explore the ways in which branding played a part in people in the word, emphasizing the messages that the Lord created them to portray. But that's going to be later in the series, but I just wanted to emphasize, like, that was a thought that I had while studying this. And I share that because I want you guys to study this for yourself, so that you can allow the Lord to drop those things in your mind, things that you can go on to explore in other places of the text that are relevant to what he has you doing. But back to the ways in which John was a subject matter expert. Let's go to John 1. I'm going to start at verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I've been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testified that he is the chosen one of God. So as you can see, John was given a specific revelation to recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And so his unique role, or his niche area of expertise, involved identifying and declaring Jesus' divine mission. So as you can see, John's role was very specific. He had a niche specialization and he fulfilled it. In my Bible, it does different profiles on the people of the text, and it always lists out like their strengths and their weaknesses. And in my Bible, it talked about how John's strength was that he fulfilled exactly what he was born to do. Everything we saw from that was foretold by Isaiah, everything we saw that the angel told his father, everything that we saw him say that the Lord said to him, he fulfilled it. To further drive home the point, though, of SME versus general in the spiritual leader context, I wanted to do some studying on who were some more general spiritual leaders and how did their lives differ from John's. One of them was Moses. As a general religious leader, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. He received the Ten Commandments and established the new laws and covenant for the people of Israel. His role encompassed a lot, from leadership to law giving to spiritual guidance, breaking up fights, all types of stuff. And this all happened over an extended period of time. So again, his role, it covered a broad sense of activities. David is another general leader. As a king and a spiritual leader, he focused on ruling Israel, establishing a dynasty, and composing many of the Psalms. He had a role that combined political leadership with spiritual and worship aspects. So again, he covered multiple spectrums. It wasn't as specific as John. Elijah, another one. Elijah was a prophet with a broader mission that included confronting idolatry and performing miracles. Now, while he had a significant role in challenging the prophets of Baal and bringing people back to God, his role was not as narrowly focused on preparing the way for the Messiah as John's was. So I hope you can see, just as we can differentiate a SME entrepreneur versus a general entrepreneur, we see it right here in the text. A SME spiritual leader versus a general spiritual leader. And so you may be saying, okay, Tatum, I understand. I see how John the Baptist was an SME. I see how other leaders in the Bible were more general. Now, what does this mean for me as an entrepreneur? Because remember, this is the Bible on business. So as a subject matter expert type of entrepreneur, I believe there are some key elements of John's story that's especially relevant for us. The first thing I want you to write down is you have to be clear and committed to what you do. You have to understand and know your expertise, and you have to be dedicated to it. John the Baptist was clear on what his assignment was. When it comes to your business, you have to be clear on your subject matter and what makes you the expert at it. You can't be easily swayed or deviate from it. People are coming to you for a depth of knowledge. As an SME, you get paid the big bucks to have a thorough and detailed understanding of a subject that a more general practitioner shouldn't have. So if you're timid, if you're second guessing, if you're looking at what the other person is doing versus fully being engulfed in what sets you apart, then that is going to do nothing but harm your business and cause you to lose focus. John the Baptist had access to two key resources that I believe fueled his commitment and his confidence in what his specific mission was. He had access, one, to the Holy Spirit, because remember, when the angel came to Zechariah, let's go back and repeat it just so you know I'm not blowing smoke. In Luke 1:13-17, it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord as a people prepared." So again, here the angel tells Zechariah that John was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So one of the reasons why I believe John was so committed, confident in what he was doing is because he had the Holy Spirit. The second thing that John had was the word. The Jewish people during this time had access to Old Testament scripture. The Hebrew scriptures were read and studied in synagogues, and many Jewish religious leaders and scholars were familiar with those prophecies. There was just culturally, there was this widespread expectation of a coming Messiah and a forerunner based upon the prophetic writings. This anticipation was a part of that religious climate and the one in which John the Baptist and Jesus were born into. And the people of that time, they were familiar with the concept of a prophetic messenger, making John's role and message resonate within their expectations once he started his ministry. Now, Now, because this was the climate and John was born to Zechariah, who was a priest, and Elizabeth, it's reasonable to assume that John was raised in a religious environment where he would have been exposed to these Hebrew scriptures. And so with that, his education would most likely have included knowledge of the prophecies and the expectations of the coming Messiah that were outlined in the Old Testament. And I would even say, I'm sure John even modeled a lot of what he was doing in his ministry on the Old Testament prophecies, because he understood through his parents and through the word that he was the forerunner of the Messiah. And I mean, John might be the first Bible on business person, because again, I'm sure because he had access to the Old Testament, he was able to align what he was doing with his role that was foretold by Isaiah, that's written in Malachi, etc. So again, he had access to the same two gifts, resources that we have access to, the Holy Spirit and the Word, and we have the complete text. So as business owners, as SME entrepreneurs, yes, we have to be confident and committed to our calling as John the Baptist was, but we also need to understand that that confidence and that commitment is not going to come from ourselves. It's not going to come from our flesh. Our flesh is going to see, oh, this is more lucrative, so I'm going to do this. This person is doing this, so I'm going to do that. It's going to see the numbers. It's going to see the data. Our flesh is going to be worried about everything but what the Holy Spirit is saying. Our flesh is not going to want to study the text for business because it's not as blatantly obvious. It requires work. It requires consistency. It requires understanding and studying and reading and interpreting accurately. It takes work, but our flesh doesn't want to do that. But we have to. So that's the first thing I want you to write down. You have to be committed and clear on your calling. And the only way that you're going to do that, yeah, your desires are going to give you hints, your skills, your education, all of that is going to steer you in the right direction. But the level of precision that's going to be necessary in your business is only going to come from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God, period. The second thing that I want you to write down is, in your business, focus on transformation. John was calling everybody to repentance. It tells us in Matthew 3:2 that his message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Within his ministry, of course, it was aimed to prepare people for the coming of Jesus. And so he was calling for repentance and transformation because he wanted to help ready people spiritually to be able to embrace that new covenant that Jesus would bring. So he's baptizing folks as an outward sign of an internal decision as he's calling them all to repentance. So he was focused on their transformation so they could be ready for the coming of Jesus. With your business, focus on the transformation of the individuals that you are applying your expertise to and document it. When I first became a full-time entrepreneur, I was fresh out of a business coaching program and I was getting ready to join another one. I was getting ready to rehire my coach to help with the transition. As I was just growing, because I had the podcast at this time, and as I was growing and becoming more successful in business, a lot of people were going to my business coach like, hey, I want to sign up for whatever Tatum did. I want to join whatever program Tatum was in because I want to see the kind of success that she's seen in my business as well. So when I noticed that was happening, I started applying a method to my business that sets me up to where I don't really have to market. I don't really have to sell myself. I just have to tell people what I have going on and people sign up. And it's simple. I focus on transformation. If I'm starting a new service, a new product, usually I would do some type of beta test first because I want to see results. And if I'm not seeing results, that means I need to take it back to the drawing board before I start charging people premium dollars for it. So everything, I always do a test run. Before I started working with podcasters, I had a friend who had a podcast and I'm like, hey, I want to start working with podcasters. Can I test out my service that I'm thinking about on your show and see what happens. Before I started managing and marketing shows, I did it for free for another friend who had a podcast where we handled all of the production, all the recording, everything. All she had to do was talk. The same service that I offer now with Anchor Media, I did it for free because I needed the data. I wanted to see the transformation. And that lets me know what it did was it validated my idea. And it also gave me the results that I needed to effectively market it to others. So when we have an open house for Anchored Media, I'm showing real numbers and real increase of clients that I've worked with. So when I tell people our books are open for clients or I have a program, I don't have to sell. I just have to present the opportunity because it's already clear. The transformation of others speak for itself. And this is how you can put your business in a position where people are calling you. People are reaching out to you. You don't even get the chance to introduce it to the public because people are chasing you down for what you have because they want to see that same transformation that you've been able to do in others. So again, focus on transformation in your business. Document everything. Get as much data as possible. If you have a service-based business, when folks are coming in, do something to assess where they are when they start and then assess where they are at the conclusion of whatever it is that you're offering them. So for me, I always document what people's shows numbers are when they come to me and what their numbers are once they leave. And a lot of times people stay for years, a lot of our clients. And so now I'll tell people, oh, I have an average of increasing show listenership by at least 50% month over month, because that's the track record and the common denominator across all the shows that we've worked with. Those of you who are struggling with marketing and how to show the value of what it is that you offer, I promise you, if you focus on transformation, if you document that transformation, quantify that transformation, and then communicate that transformation. That, I mean, off the top of my head, that's like a heck of a step system to put your business in a position where it's attractive to your potential client. Now, the third thing that I want you to write down is that when you doubt, the Lord will give you reassurance. Remember, we talked about earlier just the pros and cons of having a subject matter expert type of business. One of the cons, the biggest cons, is that it's tough to scale when you're in a particular box. And if your industry just totally dissipates, then that could be detrimental to your business. So there's definitely an element of risk with this type of business, even though there is a high payday attached to it and a lot of income potential, there's still risks here, the same way that there are risks with any type of business. And so because it's risky and because there's always going to be ebbs and flows in business, I think it's safe to say that we're all going to doubt. But one thing that I find particularly reassuring by reading John's story is when he doubted, the one who had the parents instilled in him what the Lord was going to do. He had access to the Old Testament prophecies where he can clearly see through the text what the Lord was going to do. He saw with his own eyes the dove confirm Jesus as the Lamb of God, and still he doubted because he's human and so are we. And it's assuring to know, I believe Jesus's response to him is something that can provide encouragement for us, because he reassured him in that moment. And I believe that when we doubt, again, because we're human, that the Lord will reassure us as well. So let's go to Matthew 11, 2 through 6. To give a brief context, this happens when, or this text takes place when John the Baptist is in prison. While he was locked up, he heard about the works of Jesus, and he sent his disciples out to see if Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah or if they need to be anticipating somebody else. And so as we could see, this is where some doubt was taking place. Starting at verse 2, it says, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, of all who ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophet said will come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. To what can I compare this generation? It is like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends, we played wedding songs and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. So I went ahead and read all the way to verse 19 because I just wanted to show how not only did Jesus reassure John the Baptist to his disciples and sent them back to tell him, he also advocated for him to the people that he was preaching to. To me, that just makes my heart smile because it shows the gentleness, the kindness, the love of God. And I believe that he will do the exact same thing for us. I feel like we are so hard on ourselves in our entrepreneurship journey. We, even if we doubt, we beat ourselves up for doubting. If we get frustrated, we beat ourselves up for that because we're supposed to have faith. We're supposed to X, Y, Z, whatever conditions or expectations we place on ourselves. The Lord is kind. He will reassure us. He will advocate for us. And so our vulnerabilities are safe with him. And I want you to understand that on your entrepreneurship journey, because there are going to be times when you doubt. There are going to be times where you're in unfavorable circumstances that make you second guess things. I'm sure John was in his prison cell just really like playing so many things back into his mind. I'm sure he had a lot of feelings and emotions about his situation that were clouding his judgment and just really contributing to the fact that he was doubtful in that moment. But the Lord has so much compassion, and not just in his response to him, but he also took it a step further to testify to the truth of who John was. And I find that to be very comforting, and I want you to find comfort in that as well. When we look at the Bible on Business series, it's not just about what we could take out and apply to our business. Of course, that's a big part of it. But in this text and these different places that we explore, we also see the character traits of the individuals that the scriptures are about, and also about the God that we serve. And it's important, I believe, to really internalize all of it. And as we wrap up this episode, yeah, I know I went in a bit on documenting the transformation because we're going to talk about the practical things in business, but I can't emphasize enough, be clear and committed to the calling. We have access to the same two things John did, the Holy Spirit and the Word. Make sure that you're focused on transformation, document that transformation. And then lastly, know that when you doubt, when your humanity is being humanity, when life is lifing and business is doing its thing and not in a good way, that the Lord will reassure you and he will advocate for you to others as well. So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.